Welcome to Money for the Rest of Us. This is a personal finance show on money, how it works, how to invest it, and how to live without worrying about it. I'm your host, David Stein. Today is episode 471. It's titled Unlocking Income, a Comprehensive Guide to Covered Call ETFs. A few weeks ago in episode 467, I mentioned that the largest actively managed ETF in the U.S. is the J.P. Morgan Equity Premium Income ETF. It has over $30 billion in assets, and it took in close to $13 billion just in 2023 alone. This ETF invests in a strategy known as covered calls. It's also known as a buy right strategy. There is a similar ETF, the Global X NASDAQ 100 Covered Call ETF, ticker is QYLD. It has over $8 billion in assets under management, a similar strategy to JEPI, the JP Morgan Equity Premium Income ETF. I recently had a member of Money for the Rest of Us Plus, our premium membership community, post in the forum about strategies like this, where in this member's view, the returns are potentially 12% because that's the yield on the Global X NASDAQ 100 Covered Call ETF, QYLD. Now, there's a difference between the yield and the actual return. If we look at the 10-year annualized return for QYLD, it's been 7.2% annualized. And over the past 3 years, it's returned 5%, despite the very high yield. It lost 19% in 2020. And this member was looking at these high-yielding ETFs and was asking, well, why not invest in them if they could earn 12 to 15% per year with little downside? Seems like a great investment. Now, if we could find investments with little downside that could earn 12 to 15% annualized, that would be a beautiful environment. But unfortunately, it doesn't exist. Perhaps for a short period of time, but 10 years annualized, double-digit returns with little downside risk don't exist. But covered call strategies can be an attractive addition to our portfolios. So in this episode, we want to look at what is a covered call strategy? How does it work? What are the risks? Under what circumstances do they do well? And when will they do poorly? A diversified covered call investment strategy, like we're going to talk about today, are also known as buy-right strategies. It consists of two steps. One, we buy an investment. That could be an individual stock, a basket of stocks that comprise an index, such as the stocks that make up the S&P 500. The investment could be an ETF that tracks an index, such as the S&P 500. Or the investment could be a bond ETF. And we'll look at some covered call strategy ETFs that where the underlying investment is bonds. That's step one, buy an investment. Step two is sell a call option on the underlying investment. Selling a call option is also known as writing a call option, and that's why the strategy is sometimes called buy right. We buy the investment, and then we write a call option. When we sell a call option, we receive premium income, just like an insurance company that underwrites an insurance policy. They receive a premium in return for paying out a claim if something happens, if someone's car is stolen or a house burns down. A call option is similar. The seller acts like an insurance company in terms of they receive premium income, and then they pay a claim if something specific happens. An insurance company makes what's known as an underwriting profit if the claims that they pay are less than the premium income received and what they might earn on their investment portfolio. A covered call strategy is similar. The seller of a call option will earn a profit if the claim it pays on the option contract are less than the premium received and what the seller earns on its underlying investments. Now, with options, the claims paid depends on the return of the underlying investment. And with a call option, If the price of the underlying investment, let's say it's the S&P 500 index, goes up and it exceeds what's known as the exercise price or the strike price that the option is written for, then the buyer of the option receives a payment. So for example, if there is an investment where the strike price for the call option is $100 and the investment goes up to $105, then the buyer of that option receives $5 and the seller or writer of the option would pay the buyer $5. The buyer's profit for that call option would be the $5 that they receive less the premium that they paid. The profit for the seller of the call option would be whatever premium they received for writing the option, less any payments they have to make on that option. When we think about a covered call strategy, there's two components. There's the investment component, the underlying investment, and then there's the call option that's generating the premium. The buyer of the call option is purchasing a right to receive a cash payment if the underlying investment that option is linked to exceeds a specified level. That specified level then is the strike price or the exercise price. The benefit of buying a call option is that the option buyer has no exposure to the investment falling in price. They just have optionality for the investment going up in price above the strike price. A key component then of covered call strategies is that the option that is written is sold at the level of the underlying investment, if that be an ETF or an individual stock, because a call could be written at a strike price that might be 10% above the current level of the index. And so the claim would only have to be paid if the underlying investment went up 10%. But the point of a covered call strategy is to generate as much income as possible. And so the strike price to sell the option at equals the current level of the index. And generally with covered call strategies, the time frame for the option is 30 days. So it expires in 30 days. The covered call writer then is giving away all the price appreciation for the underlying investment because of the strike price being equal to the index level. So this is an intriguing strategy. If we think about the return of a covered call strategy, it equals the dividends or the interest on the underlying investment plus the premium received for writing the option minus any claims that have to be paid to the option buyer, which effectively, because the strike price equals the level of the index, is all the price appreciation. Option buyer gets all that. The option seller in a covered call strategy doesn't get the price appreciation. They just get the income from interest and dividends, the option premium, but they also have exposure to all the downside. So if the investment goes down in price because they own the underlying investment, then they lose money. So there's capped upside and unlimited downside. So this is not a risk-free investment. There is the potential to lose money. Although over the long term, covered call strategies have earned 6 to 7% annualized. Before we continue, let me pause and share some words from one of this week's sponsors, Long Angle. Investing in private market opportunities is challenging. Done right, they offer the potential for exceptional gains. Done wrong, they present much greater risk of loss. The difference between success and failure in private markets comes down to expertise and access. Long Angle is a private community of 2,500 very high net worth investors who leverage their collective expertise and scale to access and underwrite some of the world's best alternative asset investments. After reviewing hundreds of opportunities, Long Angle diligence deal teams greenlight a dozen deals each year. Asset classes range from private equity, search funds, and private credit to secondaries, real estate, and venture. Long Angle is a community of investors, not a wealth manager. Members make their own investment decisions on a deal-by-deal basis. Members are treated as partners on every investment, with full transparency to investment team diligence and underwriting. All members receive equal access to negotiated fee discounts powered by the community's $30 billion in collective assets. Membership is free, but requires an interview with a current community member as well as validation of investable assets. Learn more at longangle.com. That's longangle.com. Longangle.com. Let's go through a numerical example using S&P 500 options. When I did this example, the S&P 500 index, this is a measure of U.S. large company stocks, was selling at 5150. I could sell a call option at the 5150 level, and it cost $85. Now, the way that options work is there's a multiplier of 100. If I just write one call option on the S&P at a level of 5150 that expires in 30 days, I would receive $8,500 in premium income. And then every point that the S&P 500 went up, because I'm paying all the price appreciation to the option buyer, every point would cost me $100. So if the S&P 500 climbed 85 points, went from 5150 up to 5235, that's about a 1.6% gain, that would cost me $8,500, which means all the premium income I received, I would have just given back to the buyer of the option. Now, one of the keys to a covered call strategy is owning the underlying investment so that all the price gains in the investment, I'm protected. So as the S&P 500 would go up, because I own the S&P 500 and I've sold options on the S&P, I'm getting price gains on my underlying investment, but then paying them out to the buyer of the option. The amount of the underlying investment that I need to own is called the notional amount. And that refers to the value of the underlying assets that's tied to the option. And in this case, the notional amount is 100 times the level of the S&P. So 100 times 5150 is $515,000. That's how much money I would need to put in the S&P 500 in order to be protected in selling one call option, that $8,500 premium. If I have less than that, then I'm going to have to scramble. If I want to be completely immunized from gains in the S&P, so every dollar gain in the S&P 500 covers my exposure to the option I wrote, then I need to have $515,000 in the S&P. That's why many individuals that use cover call options, they want to do it on their own, they'll write covered calls on exchange-traded funds. So the price of the iShares Core S&P 500 ETF, IVV, is $515, which means the notional value that I would need to hold is 100 times that, or $51,500. And the call price that I would receive for selling one call option on IVV is $8.50. We multiply that by 100, as I would receive a premium of $850 for one call option with a notional value, the value of the underlying asset, of $51,500. So let's review then. There are two scenarios for returns when employing a covered call strategy. Recall that we have the money that we've put into the underlying investment, and then we have the call option that we sell. The first scenario is the investment falls in price by more than the premium income we receive for writing the call option, and by more than the dividends that we receive on the stock portfolio, if it's a covered call strategy employing stocks or stock ETFs, or the interest we would receive on the bond portfolio if we're using a covered call strategy employing a bond ETF. If the investment falls in price by more than the income we received, that's a loss, a negative return. And in an extended bear market where the market goes down every month, we're going to lose money. And that, this is the lowest return scenario. But recall that we're writing 30-day options. And so in order for an extended loss scenario, the market would have to go down every single month, because as we write new options every month, we get more premium income and the strike price level is adjusted based on whatever we write the option at. So that's the first scenario. The second return scenario is the underlying investment goes up in price. In that case, we receive the dividend or interest income, and we receive the premium income, but all of the gains in the underlying investment that we're receiving because we own the underlying investment are being paid out to the option holder because we sold a call option on the underlying investment. So ultimately, a covered call strategy is income generating because of the premium income and the income generated by the underlying investment. There is no upside beyond that because we're paying out gains to the option holder, but we're exposed to all the price downside on that underlying investment that we own. Let's consider if we write an option on QQQ, the NASDAQ 100 ETF. This would be a strategy similar to what the Global X NASDAQ 100 cover call ETF does, QYLD. It owns the NASDAQ 100 and then writes call options on that index. If we look at the pricing of QQQ options, one option at the current level of QQQ would generate $1,000. With a notional amount of 100 times the level of QQQ, which is $438. So the notional amount is $43,800. We get a premium of $1,000 if we write a call option at the current level. That's 2.2% return per month, 26.4% per year if QQQ doesn't go down in price. 26% per year, just an option premium plus a small dividend yield that QQQ might have. That's not bad, except that's not the way it works because we know that the market will go down some months. The worst case loss for a covered call strategy, in this case QYLD, that is based on QQQ, was a 25% loss. That was pretty significant. If we look at the longer term return for QYLD, it's returned 7% annualized for the 5 years and the 10-year, around 7.2%. Before we continue, let me pause and share some words from this week's sponsors. Quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you can keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. With everything seeming to be so expensive these days, it's wise to find proven ways to cut costs and boost performance at the same time. You can do that with NetSuite. Now through April 15th, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/David. That's netsuite.com/David. netsuite.com/David. With covered call strategies, the amount of premium income we received will vary over time. What determines the premium is how much time until expiration, and with covered call strategies, it's typically 30 days. The current price of the index or the underlying investment relative to the strike price when the option contract is either bought or sold, the closer the strike price is to the current price, the more premium income, which is why with a covered call strategy, the idea is to sell a call option at the current level of the underlying investment in order to get the most premium income we can based on the strike price and the exercise price. A covered call strategy typically always written at the current level of the underlying investment, 30 days to maturity. Doesn't have to be, but that's just typically how it's done. And then another driver then is the expected volatility of the underlying investment. Something like QQQ is more volatile than the S&P 500 because QQQ has a greater percentage in technology stocks and there's only 100 stocks. versus the S&P 500 has 500 stocks, and it's more diversified. So the volatility of the S&P is lower than the NASDAQ 100, which means the option premium income is higher for options on QQQ compared to options on the S&P 500. That measure of volatility or expected volatility, implied volatility for the S&P is called VIX, V-I-X. You might have heard of that. But other investments would have other names for, or that's just called the implied or expected volatility. And the higher that expected volatility, the greater the option premium. They went in markets are in a sell-off or down, or they're just more volatile, then a covered call strategy can earn more premium income because options are more expensive. And so you're getting more money if you sell them. Now, supply and demand can impact the option premium for stocks. The presence of dividends on the stocks can influence the premium received depending on when the dividend is expected to be paid. But that's the essence of the strategy. Buy an investment and sell a call option on that investment. Collect the premium incomes. Collect the dividends and interest on the underlying investment. Hope that the investment doesn't go down in price. If we look at the top covered call ETFs in the U.S., the largest one is the Global X NASDAQ 100 covered call ETF that we've already mentioned, QYLD. Another large one is the Global X S&P 500 covered call ETF, XYLD. There's a version that does covered calls on small cap stocks. And then there's one with just about $900 million in assets, TLTW. It's the iShares 20-plus year Treasury Bond Buy Right Strategy ETF. This doesn't involve stocks at all. It involves selling options on TLT. This is a bond ETF that invests in long-term Treasury bonds. You can sell a call option on this ETF, and the price of TLT fluctuates based on what interest rates do. As interest rates go up, the value of TLT falls. And when interest rates fall, the value of TLT goes up. Since this is a covered call strategy, when interest rates fall, then the call option will go up in price and the seller of the option will have to pay a claim cash to the buyer of the option. In looking at the pricing of call options on TLT, I was surprised to see that potentially the option premium is equal to 2.2% of the notional amount, the underlying investment. That's potentially a 26% return per year, just an option premium. Plus, you get the interest income from owning those long-term bonds, which right now is over 4%. So in a perfect world, if TLT just stayed at its current price and didn't change, this covered call strategy could earn over 30% per year. But we know that's just not going to happen. If interest rates go up, the price of TLT falls, and the return would equal the premium received plus interest. But also, since we have the underlying investment that we have in TLT, we would suffer the loss from the value of the ETF falling. This ETF was just launched in late 2022. And if we look at the returns, in 2023, TLT, the ETF that's investing in 20-year plus Treasury bonds, returned 2.8%. TLTW, the covered call ETF based on TLT, returned 0.8%. So it underperformed TLT. In 2024, year-to-date, TLT has fallen 5.6%. Interest rates have gone up, and TLTW has returned negative 2.8%. So it's done better. I have a hard time conceptualizing how TLTW will do because it's not as intuitive than covered call strategies on using stocks, at least for me. Now, you might not find covered call strategies intuitive at all, but traditionally covered call has been on stocks. But now because it's based on ETFs, we have this scenario where, again, we're receiving the premium income and the interest income, but we have exposure to the downside of the underlying investments with interest rates go up. There's also covered call strategies based on high-yield bond ETFs. HYGW is iShares version. And again, it lagged the underlying high-yield bond ETF by about 4 percentage points in 2023. It's outperformed by about 1.8% in 2024 year-to-date, but it's still early. So we'll see how they do. Let's then, as we wrap up, turn to the J.P. Morgan Equity Premium Income ETF, JEPI. This is not a plain vanilla covered call strategy because it doesn't own the S&P 500. It owns a different stock portfolio. It's a more defensive portfolio made up of 118 holdings. So you're earning the dividends on that and potentially some return because instead of writing covered call options, J.P. Morgan enters into what are called equity-linked notes, or ELNs. And the equity-linked notes are private contracts that mimic writing covered call options on the S&P 500. But it's a separately negotiated contract, so there's the potential counterparty risk. And recognize that they're receiving option premium on these notes, but they also have exposure to the upside of the S&P, and their underlying stock portfolio may do better than the S&P, but it may do worse. And so there's some additional moving parts with JEPI. That's why it's an actively managed fund and not a passive ETF. But it's done better than a traditional S&P 500 buy-write ETF. Over the past 3 years, it returned 9.5% annualized versus the Invesco S&P 500 buy-write ETF, which did 5.7% annualized, and the Global X S&P 500 covered call ETF, which returned 5.3% annualized. So it's done almost 4 percentage points better annualized. The underlying structure is the same, but it appears that the underlying investment portfolio performed better than the S&P, so it's added some additional return above that. So what's a reasonable expectation for covered call strategies? Recognizing we get the premium income, we get the dividend or interest income, but we have exposure. We're like an insurance company paying out claims if the underlying investment goes up in price and we're exposed to the downside of the underlying investment. We look at historical returns, 6 to 7% annualized is reasonable for covered call strategies based on stocks and stock ETFs. For covered call strategies based on bonds, it's a little unclear. These are still new, and there's a lot of moving parts. So we'll have to wait and see on that one. Now, I've had exposure to a covered call-like strategy, the WisdomTree Put-Write Strategy Fund, ticker PUTW. I've owned it for a number of years now. It's a little different. But instead of selling call options, it's selling put options. So it is receiving premium income. But in this case, a put option, the claim that needs to be paid is not like a call option when the underlying investment goes up in price. You pay out the claim if the index falls. So with PUTW, you're getting the premium income. That's your return. But then you're reducing your return if the index falls because you're having to pay out these option claims. And the annualized return has been 8% over the past 5 years. So it's done better than covered call strategies. It's a little different. I've discussed it in other podcasts. So we won't go into a huge amount of detail. But I like these income strategies involving options because they're a different return driver. They're a diversifier. They're a way to generate income that's different. And again, 6 to 7% annualized return is reasonable. There can be drawdowns of 15 to 20% or more. So it's not like they can't lose money. The income received, the premium income is tied to volatility. So the higher the volatility, the implied volatility or VIX, the greater the premium income received. And that can vary over time. But as a long-term diversifying strategy, covered call ETFs are attractive and something to consider in your portfolio. That's episode 471. Thanks for listening. You may be missing some of the best Money for the Rest of Us content. Our weekly Insider's Guide email newsletter goes beyond what we cover in our podcast episodes and helps elevate your investment journey with information that works best in written and visual formats. With the Insider's Guide, you can discover actionable investing insights provided only to our newsletter subscribers. Unlock greater investing confidence with high-value snippets from our premium products, plus membership and Asset Camp. Access exclusive news, offers, and events you won't hear about anywhere else. Further connect with the Money for the Rest of Us team and community. And when you sign up, we'll also send you our exclusive investing checklist to help you invest with more confidence right away. The Insider's Guide is the best next step to get the most out of your investment journey. If you're not on the list, go to moneyfortherestofus.com and subscribe with the Become a Better Investor sign-up box. Everything I've shared with you in this episode has been for general education. I've not considered your specific risk situation. I've not provided investment advice. This is simply general education on money, investing in the economy. Have a great week.